Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, let me ask you this. Things are all over the place. We're watching people talking about Hillary and Bush, and they're not doing as well as they should be. And are you picking this stuff up on your polls?
What we're seeing in the national polls on the Republican side is just a response to an enormous field, almost an unprecedented field of candidates, making it hard even for the presumed establishment candidate, Jeb Bush, to gain the traction that everyone expected he would gain. Hillary Clinton, she's got to deal with a resurgent candidate in Bernie Sanders, who's performing a bit better than anyone had expected going into the race. And so it begins to raise some questions, but it is so early that these may just be blips in the campaign.
Well, I'm interested in the nuances of voter, you know, participation. What does it mean if they say, you know, I'm for Bernie right now, as opposed to Hillary? In the past, when you've done this kind of work, have early suggestions that all is not well for a candidate proven out later?
Not necessarily. The preferences that people express right now may not be deeply held. There are some preferences that are deeply held. There is a core of support for Hillary Clinton that's left over, that's built, that's been nurtured since the 2008 campaign. But then when you identify individuals who support, say, Bernie Sanders, for example, he is an alternative that, and there's a concern that there isn't going to be a very competitive race on the Democratic side. He provides some of that competition, and so party voters, especially party activists, may be drawn to that and drawn to his positions, certainly far further to the left on things like income inequality, campaign finance reform, than Hillary Clinton. And so he's getting some love right now. Now, that could just be infatuation, could fade as we get closer to the primaries.
And of course, there's a big difference between doing well in Vermont, New York, and you know, Massachusetts than there is in South Carolina, North Carolina.
Absolutely. And that's where the party establishment, you would expect, would work very, very hard on Hillary Clinton's behalf, because it's almost asking for a McGovern-like defeat to put forward Bernie Sanders, even though the Warren wing of the Democratic Party adores him. He would be a tough sell nationwide.
So I'm going to read you a whole bunch of names. Bush, Walker, Rubio, Paul, Cruz, Pataki, Perry, Huckabee, Graham, and Fiorina. So, you know, you're the pollster and the political scientist. What do you make of this?
Yeah, let's not forget Trump, Jindal, Pataki.
No, I mentioned Pataki. I would never leave Pataki out.
It is a bit of a head-scratcher to ask why not second-tier but third- and fourth-tier candidates are jumping in. But there are lots of reasons, lots of motivations to jump into a wide-open nomination contest. And they don't all have to do with winning. It could be raising your profile, could be positioning yourself for higher speaking fees, more appearances on national television, perhaps a dry run for a more serious campaign 4 years from now, or positioning yourself for the number two spot on the ticket. There are lots of motivations. And
you didn't mention filling up your campaign war chest. In other words, you can attract a lot of money.
Absolutely. Raising your profile, drawing money. Now, whether campaign finance laws would permit money raising a presidential exploratory phase to translate into other campaigns for governor, for senator, that's another question. But at this point, if you've got the time and if you've got the money, why not? The real crush comes quite some time from now, when the Iowa caucus occurs, when the New Hampshire primary occurs. And so between now and then, you could build a following, and you might catch lightning in a bottle. I think these candidates look back to the 2012 primary season, and they see that for a period, various candidates who hadn't been given any kind of shot were suddenly the front runners: Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum. Of course, none of them went on to win the nomination, but they did raise their profile. They did create a market for more public speaking, more books, more appearances on television. So there, again, there are a lot of different motivations for getting into a crowded field.
Now, of course, you guys are very powerful, you pollsters, and I'll tell you why. Because isn't it so that in order to be in the debates, you have to be performing in the polls at a particular level?
Yes, these are the decision rules that Fox News and CNN have been working with. They're not finalized yet, but that standing in either national polls in the case of Fox News or early state polls in the case of CNN dictates who gets on the stage. This field could be up to 20 candidates by the time of the first debate, which is August 6th on the Fox News channel. The challenge here is that the polling right now is so dispersed, so widely distributed, that a lot of the field are separated just by a few points. And for the students in polling 101, we have to remember you apply the margin of error to each candidate in a horse race poll. So if you say we're going to take the top 10 and we have a poll with plus or minus 5% as the margin of error, which is not unusual in a primary poll, there's a lot of spread. Who's in the top 10? Well, there could be more than 10 people because you've got this wide spread in terms of their polling numbers. So it's a thicket. The networks are coming up with some different ways of saying, well, we'll do the top 10, but then we'll have another forum for anybody polling above 1%, and we'll find some way of treating people equitably. And part of it is pressure from the Republican Party as well, because they don't want to overlook someone who might catch fire, who, given a bit of national exposure, might excite the base, might actually start to move up in the polls. They don't want to shut out anyone unnecessarily. So it's a fascinating use of poll data. I don't think it's a very sophisticated use, though, and I am concerned when this is the decision rule for deciding who gets on TV.
Obviously, who turns out is going to be extremely important. So you could do a poll, people could give you answers, but there's a very slim turnout in these primaries often. So who turns out becomes very important to the pollster, doesn't it?
It really does, and it creates for a lot of volatility when you're polling in a primary. You are looking, in some cases, for needles in a haystack. So pollsters take different approaches. Some use the voter list instead of random digit dial approaches so that you identify people who have voted in the past, especially in primaries, and figure these are the folks most likely to show up. These are the people we'll talk to.
It's great to talk to Tim Versalotti, one of my favorite people in the world, director of the Western New England University Poll and professor of political science. Boy, are your students lucky to have you in class with them. And Tim, thanks so much for being with us. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, some of the other stuff that's going on.
Thank you, Alan.